Deuteronomy, chapter 12, in your Scofield Bible, page 230. We'll read one verse only from this chapter, and we'll turn to a couple of other passages. Verse 8 of chapter 12 of Deuteronomy. Then let's read the 8th verse together. Ready? Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Now to the book of Judges, chapter 17, page 308 in your Scofield Bible, and verse 6. The 6th verse of the 17th chapter of Judges. Let's read it together, please. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. A few pages over now to Judges chapter 21, page 314 in your Scofield Bible, verse 25. Let's read. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us a place upon this earth. Thou didst have us in mind from the foundations of the earth. And we came here to dwell as outcasts. And yet we have hope because of thy blessing and the sending of thy Son Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you that in him there's hope, there's life. And because of him, we meet today. We meet in this great church. You've given us the desire and the freedom to be here. Now we pray that you'd crown the day with your power and your blessing and an outpouring of your Spirit upon us as listeners to thy word and upon our preacher as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
You don't have to applaud when I get up. If I could capture your mind for the next 35 minutes or so and force you to listen to me, I would. You understand that most of you will be here a long time after I'm gone. I do not want you simply to have a great church, a great high school, junior high school, elementary school, college, for my lifetime. I want you to have one or those things for your lifetime. This morning I'm going to preach a message that only an older man could preach. I doubt very seriously if there are a dozen men in the world who could preach what I'm going to preach this morning, and maybe less than that, because there's nobody in the world who heads exactly or leads exactly the kind of ministry and organization that we have here. There's nobody in the world who pastors a church this size, has a college the size of Howells Anderson, has two high schools, two grade schools, and a junior high school. I want you to set it straight. I want you to listen to me. This sermon's for you and not for me. I especially want my men on my staff to listen carefully. Those who are not here this morning, I want you to get them the tape, and I want them to listen to what I'm going to say very carefully. I want the educators, administrators, and our schools to listen very carefully. When God says something three times in the Bible, it's very important. There are very few statements that are made three times in the Bible. The statement that I'm going to preach on this morning is made three times, you read it a while ago, in the Bible. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I want you to listen very, very carefully. Our Father, what I'm going to preach on this morning is almost unknown. It's almost invisible, especially you've not lived a long time to see what's happened. Bless me as I speak and our people as they hear. In Jesus' name, amen. if you love the First Baptist Church of Hammond, I want you to hang on every word. I need your mind carefully. The times of the judges, look at me. The times of the judges, perhaps, or the time of the judges is perhaps the most misunderstood time in all the Bible. There's some feeling in our minds that you have the Pentateuch, and then you have Joshua and Judges, that the book of Judges is a time of darkness, a time when there are no great men. I said this morning in my class, some of the greatest men in the Bible lived in the time of the Judges. You won't find greater men than Gideon and Shamgar and Ehud and Samuel and all those great men of the Judges. We think of it, now listen carefully, we think of the time of the Judges as a time when evil men did evil, and that is not true. We think of it as a time when men chose to do evil, and that is not true. The Bible does not say that every man did that which was sinful in his own eyes. Rather, it was a time when men decided to do right. Are you listening to me? The book of the time of the Judges is a time when men decided to do right. It is a time, in many cases, where they wanted to do right. And they were sincere in their motives and their effort of doing right. It is a time when most men tried to do right. This was no Sodom and Gomorrah age, where people chose to be queers and chose to be filthy. This is no time of Sodom and Gomorrah. The time of the Judges is not a time of Noah's age, where men did wickedness and even their minds or hearts were filled with wickedness continually, the Bible says. This is not that kind of a time. The time of the Judges is not a time where people said, this is right, this is wrong, we'll choose to do wrong. No, they chose to do right. This was a time when every man, hear me carefully now, listen to me, young people look at me, listen to me. This was a time when every man tried to do right. The Bible does not say that they did wrong in their own eyes. The Bible said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He did not choose to do wrong, but chose to do right. This is exactly what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan comes to Eve, and Satan doesn't say to Eve, I want you to do wrong. Satan said to Eve, I want you to do right. But I want you to decide what's right. That's the difference. Satan didn't come to Eve and say, I want you to do wickedly. He came to Eve and said, if you will eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree in the midst of the garden, then you will be as gods. So Eve was trying to do what was right. She was trying to decide what was right. Now listen carefully. But no man has a right to decide what's right. This book decides what's right, you see. So, Satan said to Eve, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, that word knowing is the word determining. If you eat the fruit of this tree, you'll be as gods, and you then can determine what's good and evil, or you will know yourself what's good and evil. You won't need any help from God, because you will know yourself what's right and what's wrong. Follow me carefully. Sometimes in the Bible, in the books of Kings and Chronicles, we have a certain statement made about kings that were not good kings. It says time and time again, a certain king in Judah or Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So all of these kings were not bad men. They were men that wanted to do that which was right. In some cases. And does not say they did evil in their own sight. Are you listening to me? It said they did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's what's wrong with America. What's wrong with America today? Everybody's trying to decide. Well, it just seems to me that it's not right to have capital punishment. You're and good people, decent people,
They are deciding what's right. Let me tell you something, young people. Let me tell you something, adults. Let me tell you something, everybody. You have no right to decide what's good and evil. There's a God in heaven who is perfect and omniscient, and He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. And you quit trying to figure out what you think is right, and you do what God says is right in the book. So these, no doubt many of these kings did right in their sight. Now I think there's some of these kings that did, that chose to do what they thought was evil, or thought or sinful, but some of these kings chose to do what they thought was right. Now the sermon. In many cases, good men with good motives had begun the deterioration of institutions. He said again, in many cases, good men with good motives had begun the deterioration of institutions. They do this by thinking they can improve them. There's a statement sometimes made here I don't like. The statement is, we ought to always be improving Howells Anderson College. I don't like that statement. I like the statement, we ought to always be preserving Howells Anderson College. The greatest days in the life of Moody Bible Institute were the days Mr. Moody was there, before they started improving it. The greatest days in the life of Tennessee Temple, Bob Jones, I'm being very frank this morning, I'm not usually very frank as you know, but I'm being very frank. Institutions are decaying all across America by improvement. All you want, if you want to destroy Hammond Baptist High School, you just try to improve it. Hammond Baptist High School needs preserving just like it is today. The greatest days in the history of the institutions built by Dwight Moody, by Charles Spurgeon, by Lee Robertson, by Bob Jones Sr., by G.B. Vick, by J. Frank Norris, have been in the days before they were improved. I'm talking about days when they didn't have as pretty buildings as they had later on. I'm talking about the days before they were improved. I want to say this, but by the way, the men who led in the decay of these institutions were good men who thought they were doing right. Let me say this. Bad men destroy institutions, but good men make them destroyable. First Baptist Church Hammond will not be destroyed in the generation after me. If she's destroyed, she'll be destroyed in the next generation. Institutions don't decay in one generation. The one generation provides the machinery for their decay, and then bad men come and take that machinery and cause the destruction of that institution. Now, I'm preaching this morning because I want this church to be the very same things, not improved, not a new and improved First Baptist Church. 50 years from today, I want this church to be exactly like she is right now, with the same conviction, same Bible, and the same standards, and the same methods. Good men! Good men! Take over institutions, and they want to do what is right. But what is right is to preserve what was right in the early days of that institution. When our schools are destroyed, I'm talking about Hammond Baptist Schools, City Baptist Schools, and Howells Anderson College, when they're destroyed, they will be destroyed by bad men who will use the machinery made by good men thinking they were improving the schools. And First Baptist Church of Hammond, and by the way, we won't know it. We won't know it. I'm preparing a sermon on that line right now. The Bible says when men get gray hair, they don't know they're getting gray hair because gray hair comes one hair at a time. Now, the honest simple truth is, we won't know it. The good men doing what they thought was good were the forerunners of bad men and bad motives. Proverbs 14:12, another scripture it's used twice in the Bible. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now it's talking about good men who do what they think looks right. But the end thereof didn't say that while they're doing what they think is right, it says the end thereof are the ways of death. Same thing is in Proverbs 16:25. A good man does what he thinks is right and prepares unknowingly for the takeover of bad men. Listen to this statement. Most church trouble is caused by machinery set up by good men who did what they thought was right that could be captured later by bad men. The old story I've told again and again, especially to preachers. Well, luckily, Dr. H.A. Ironside, the pastor of the great Moody Church years ago when Moody Church ran thousands instead of hundreds, when Moody Church was the first Baptist church of Hammond of their generation, H.A. Ironside turned 60. There's a man on our board told me this story. He went to Moody Church at the time. Dr. Ironside turned 60. He was getting older. He called his board together. And he said to his board, "Men, you know what I want. No longer do I feel that I can control the recommendations of this church or lead this church like I could when I was a younger man." And he said, "I'm traveling a great deal." He said, "What I want to do is this. I want you men to make the decisions that we have made together and some of the decisions that I have made." Don't miss this now. "Some of the decisions that I have made." He said, "You know what I want. You know exactly what I want. So I'm just going to preach and travel and pastor the church, and I'm going to leave the business to you." Now you're looking at a man who's not going to leave the business to you. "I'm going to leave the governing of this church." You're looking at a man who's not going to leave the governing of this church to his board. "I'm going to work with them, but I'm not going to leave it to him." And this man who's in this auditorium this morning, he stood up at our deacon's meeting and made this speech. He said, I saw what happened. He said, as long as Dr. Ironside was alive and those men were alive, everything was fine. But Dr. Ironside voluntarily gave the leadership of that church to a board. And when that board died off and Dr. Ironside's died off, then bad men came on the board. And then they handcuffed the preacher. The preacher couldn't say what he ought to say. Couldn't lead like he ought to lead. And then came the deterioration of the church. I've said it again and again. Not only do I want this church to stay fundamental, but I want us to avoid the machinery that someday can be taken over by men who will destroy this church. So what happened? That's the way boards decide who preaches behind the pulpit. But I came here. I went to First Deacon's meeting and they said, "Do you have any special, any invitations to preach that you want us to approve?" I didn't ask me that. I was supposed to tell my deacon board what invitations I had and have them approve where I preached. Well, boy, they'll be making popsicles in hell before I'll ask anybody where I preach. I made God a promise 50 years ago. What I preach, where I preach, when I preach, how long I preach, and to whom I preach is my business, and nobody's going to mess with it. When I came here, I asked Dr. John Rice and Dr. Walter Wilson to come and preach for me for a missions conference. I got a letter from the missions committee saying, "You didn't get our approval before you had Dr. Wilson and Dr. Rice preach." They got a letter from me too, by the way, later on. Now look, folks, I'm trying to tell you something. No bad people set that system up. Good people set that system up that was to be able to control by bad people. Now listen, all I'm trying to do is I want this place to be what it is now, 50 years from right now. Don't improve it, keep it like it is. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now let me leave the church and leave the schools. Many divorces are caused by sincere people who are trying to do right. God gives one ground for divorce, and even then he doesn't prefer it. He does not ever prefer divorce, but he says because of the hardness of our hearts, he'll give us one reason to divorce. Now, good people say, "Well, my husband, he is mentally cruel to me." Well, every man ought to be mentally cruel to his wife. Chicken-hearted coward. "My husband is mentally cruel to me. We are incompatible." Well, show me a man and woman that are compatible. Now, you listen to me. You don't know better than God knows. You don't have a better mind than God does. But good people, sincere people, think they're doing right because they themselves, right up here in this cranium, they decide what's right. Now you listen to me. That is idolatry in its purest sense. A person who decides himself what's right without going in this book to find out what's right in that book sets himself up as his own idol, as his own God, and is just as much an idolater as the heathen Hottentot in Africa that makes himself a piece of wood and bows down and worships that piece of wood. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. You may be a PhD. You may be a professor in Howells Anderson College or Indiana University. I don't care how high your IQ is. You are not smart enough to decide what's right and what's wrong. God has decided that. But I'm not talking about bad people now. I'm talking about good people. There's not a week that passes when somebody comes to my office telling me that they feel they have a right for divorce. And they're good people. Our country is being destroyed by a bad man. His name is Bill Clinton. Our country is being destroyed by a bad man. Whoever thought that a crooked, graft-dodging whoremonger would ever sit in the Oval Office in the White House? And whoever thought that America would vote their approval for a crooked, graft-dodging whoremonger? And whoever thought that the commanding officer of the United States Army, United States Navy, United States Marines would be a fellow who's a draft dodger? And whoever thought we'd have a man who said, I'll send troops to Iraq when he wouldn't go to Vietnam? I'm telling you, it is the destruction and decay of our country. But wait a minute, Cal, listen carefully. Bill Clinton is the fulfillment of a system that good men have set up. Good men have set up a government and a structure, and Bill Clinton is the heir of that structure, which has enabled him to sit in the White House and make a whorehouse out of the White House. And I rebel because I'm sending my money up there. But it is the inevitable, follow me carefully now, it is the inevitable end to a nation back in the 1960s that said, we'll decide what's right. When the public school system said, we'll decide what's right, and said to God, get out of our school and take your book with you. I'm not saying the men that made that decision were bad men. They were good men who tried to decide what was right. And they said, there are other religions in America. Do we have a right to have a Bible in our school, not have a Koran? Yes, we do. Because America was built by people that built a nation on this Bible. But these were good men who reasoned in their own minds. We want to do right. Now, Bill Clinton doesn't want to do right. He had no desire to do right. And whatever happened to these women groups that didn't believe in all this women harassment? Whatever happened to them? They weren't against women being harassed. They were against conservative, fundamental people. Therefore, listen, how about Senator Packwood up in Oregon? Listen. Bill Clinton makes Packwood look like Mother Teresa. Our system has created an atmosphere and machinery that good men have created who wanted to do what was right. But ladies and gentlemen, wanting to do what's right is not enough. Who's going to decide what's right? That's the issue. The Bible said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They said, yes, most false religion is started by men who tried to do right. It just seems, they say, that good men ought to go to heaven and bad men ought to go to hell. The key word there is seems. Seems to whom? My Bible says all are sinners. My Bible says our goodness is like filthy rags. My God says that. So if good people go to heaven, nobody's going to be in heaven. So God, by His grace, decided not to send all the bad people to hell because all people are bad anyway. And God said, I'll let some go to heaven if they'll let me pay the penalty on the cross for their sins and be their substitute and trust me as their Savior. I'll take them to heaven. Who are you to decide who deserves to go to heaven, who deserves to go to hell? Who are you to decide what's right and what's wrong? Who are you to decide whether capital punishment is right? God says capital punishment's right. Who are you to decide? It just seems right that spanking children is brutal. They say, wait, hold on. This wasn't started by bad people. This was started by good people that sincerely thought spanking children was brutal. I'll be quite frank with you. I thought that one time. I'd say for about 18 years I thought that. And I'll be frank with you again. A 200-pound man taking a paddle and bending a little 6-year-old girl over his knee and putting that thing against her posterior. Sounds brutal. Except I'm not the one who decides what's brutal. It's more brutal not to put that paddle on her posterior and let her someday be a dope addict or give birth to a child outside wedlock or be an alcoholic or have a wrecked and ruined life. I'm trying to tell you, but even then, it's not for me to say it's better to spank the child because the spanked children turn out better. That's not for me to say. It's for me to say it's better to spank the child because God says spank the child. It all depends on who's going to make this decision. When you say, Brother Howes, to me, it just seems brutal. Okay, then to you it seems brutal. To God, it seems right. You better trust an omniscient God than a dumb bunny like yourself. There's not a PhD in a state university in America whose mind is 1,000,000th as great as our God's is. But it seems right. Well, it just seems to me that my husband spanked me or hit me. I ought to have a right to get a divorce. Now, ma'am, I'm sorry. If I'd been God, I would have given you a right. It just doesn't seem right to me for a woman that gets beat by a husband not to get a divorce. Except I'm not the seam writer. God's the seam writer. You say, are you trying to tell me, Brother Howes, that my husband spanks me and beats me, I am still supposed to live with him? No, that's not something to say at all. I'm saying God said that. I'm saying God said it. Well, you said that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to your little puny mind or my little puny mind, but it makes sense to omniscience. I don't care whether it's a home, a church, elementary school, college, high school, fillet, denomination, whatever it is. It will deteriorate when we decide in our own minds what is right. Illustration. When I was a young preacher, I was Southern Baptist. They had in the Southern Baptist convention a title called District Missionaries. Now, what were these district missionaries for? They would divide the state of Texas or all the southern states up into sections. District 1, District 2, District 3. And they chose these men to go to these districts and start churches. Now, Paul McCaffrey. These men went to districts and they started a church over here. They'd call a pastor. These guys would go over here and start a church. And that's good. They start a church. Now follow me carefully. When these churches that they started lost a pastor, they knew these district missionaries personally because they started the church. They went back to the district missionary and said, would you recommend a pastor to us? Now hear me carefully. And the district missionary recommended a pastor. After two or three times that happened per church, the district missionary felt offended if they didn't contact him. So he began to be the guy that recommended churches to all the preachers. Hear me carefully now. So the Southern Baptists were honest enough to change his title recently from district missionary to district superintendent. Missionary is a scriptural word and scriptural title. Superintendent is not a scriptural title. What's happened? Open the house. Here's what happened. A term that I detest as much as I detest a word of knowledge, the term word of knowledge. I'm getting ready to test it more and more. I feel led. Led is not a good word, as I have read. But I feel led. You can get by with anything saying, I feel led. I feel led to quit college and flop. Well, I feel led to kick you out. I feel led to leave my husband without a reason. I feel led to date this unsaved boy. What you better do is get the lead out of your pants and put the red in its place in your brain. Good men who want to do right. I said, good men who want to do what's right. Create an atmosphere and machinery for bad men to destroy it. Now, there must be an authority that determines what's right. There's got to be an authority. Somebody's got to say what's right. As Brother Grady has, the book is titled The Final Authority. Excellent title for a book. The Final Authority. There's got to be a final authority. Now, where is that final authority? Our Catholic friends say it's the Pope. I'm sorry, the Pope is not the final authority. I don't care if he speaks ex cathedra, hands down a bull and a heifer and two lambs. He's still not the final authority. For him to say he's the final authority is self-idolatry. He's not the final authority. Okay, then the church is the final authority. No, the church is not the final authority. Well, then the pastor is the final authority. You got it. No, he's not the final authority. Well, then the College of Cardinals is the final authority. No, the College of the Cubs, either one, not the final authority. Somebody has got, look, if I think this is right, and you think something else is right, you think something else is right, and you think something else is right, and you think something else is right, somebody's got to say, who knows what's right? I'll tell you, God knows what's right. The final authority is in this book, right here. At my age, I have no axes to grind. Any day now, I'll be in Florida playing shuffleboard. No axes to grind. I just happen to love this church with all my heart. I happen to love its institutions with all my heart. And I realize the day is going to come in a few years, at the latest in a few years, when I'll not be here to preach sermons like this. And I want you to realize that First Baptist Church in Hammond needs no improvement at all. Now, its members may need improvement individually, but its framework, its machinery, needs no improvement at all. Hammond Baptist Schools and Howells Anderson College and City Baptist Schools need no improvement. We need to improve the people, but not the machinery. I've been around a long time. I've seen churches by the hundreds crumble. They crumble because good people are trying to do what they think is right. That's what causes the John MacArthurs. That's what causes people to make fun of personal soul winning and call us confrontational soul winners. Oh, they just call it soul winning like the Bible calls it. That's where this lifestyle evangelism garbage comes from. It comes from good men who say, it seems in this age, well, bless God, this book is for every age. I heard a man say at the Southwide Fellowship a few years ago, he said, God gave us a book with a divine message, but not a book with divine methods. That man's an idiot. This book not only tells you the message, it tells you how to get it out. It is a book of a divine, and so somebody comes along and says, well, look, this is a different age. This is the age of television, and this is the age of women all working, and this is the age where of enlightened people, they don't want to be bothered. I got news for you. That's when I started preaching, nobody wanted to get bothered either. Nobody ever came to the door and said, glory to God, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to hell. I want to go to heaven. Woo! They prayed you'd come. Old-time religion was as unpopular 50 years ago as it is now. We don't need any new methods. We need to keep on doing the old methods. I'm taking a little bit out of a sermon I'm going to preach later on. Means we'll have to study a little more next week. I'm 71 and a half years old. In fact, this has been a tough week for me. I just got closer to 72 than I am 71. But look carefully. See that hand right there? I won't show you the backside. It's got age, not AIDS, age spots. But see that hand right there? In 71 and a half years, it hasn't grown one more finger. Not one. If I took my shoes off, I could prove that I have the same number of toes now that I had 71 and a half years ago. So don't put anything new on me. The only thing is, that finger has grown bigger. Other things have grown bigger also. But I don't need anything new. I need to improve what I've got. So, oh, you said the house, what a growing grace. But it doesn't say growing graces. What does it mean? It means growth is pray more. Don't bring anything new in. Don't bring a cell block system into the church. Just pray more. Read the Bible more. Go soul winning more. Let each thing you're doing get bigger. Do more of what's right. Now, I'm talking to a lot of people this morning. When you sit with the house, I feel led to go to Notre Dame. No, you don't. Unless it's a booger man that's leading you. No, you know. My Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, Brother Howes, it just seems to me we ought to get in these schools and change them. Quit seeming to you and find out what seems to God. Well, how are you going to change people? Did you ever hear knocking on doors? Did you ever hear ringing doorbells? Did you ever hear preaching on the street corner? Just like they did in the Bible days. That's what it is. Quit, young people, quit saying, I feel led. You got a book that will lead you. You got a book that will tell you what to do. And you got omniscience, which means an all-knowing God that wrote this book. I'm going to close with this, I think. Ms. Howes and I laughed about this a lot. We never do read instruction books. We'll trade in a car and learn how to operate it as we trade it in. Never read it at all. We'll find things. I've got a car that's a couple of years old, and I'll find things in that car I didn't know I had. And you know why? Because I don't read the instruction book. And that's the way you're living. You're living, you're good people. Just like they were in the Judges. Just like Eve wanted to be, you're good people. But the simple truth is, you want to decide what's good. But an omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent Heavenly Father has written an instruction book. But you watch television more than you read his instruction book. You're just like Ms. Hiles in the way she's trained me. We don't read the instruction book. I wanted to, but she led me otherwise. You got a book of instructions here, and the truth is most of you don't read it. So what you do is you just like Oral Roberts, you got your own little word of knowledge. It's called I Feel Led. Ladies and gentlemen, America, if America ever gets back to God, it'll be when she decides that God determines what's right. If our churches ever get back to what they used to be, ought to be, and should be, it'll be because they get back to letting God decide what's right. But we're sending our young people off to schools all across the country and seminaries where some professor knows more than God does. The truth is, the guy ought to be in an insane asylum. Oh, this is good. It's so good, I think I'll just keep on to 1 o'clock. Now you listen to me, and you listen well. You're not God. And you don't know what's right. But you've got an instruction book here that'll tell you what's right. What you better do is find... Henry Ford. One day Henry Ford was driving down the Michigan Highway. A fellow over here was fixing it. He had a car that wasn't working. It was a Ford car. None of them worked. It was a Ford car. The fellow was trying to fix his car, and up drove Henry Ford. And the fellow didn't know who he was. He was an old man at the time. Henry Ford drove up and stopped and saw the fellow trying to fix his Ford and says, "Fellow, can I help you?" And the young man, not knowing who Henry Ford was, said, "You think you can help me, old man? An old guy like you can help me?" And Henry Ford drove off and left the guy with his car not working. The maker of the car was rejected. And I'm not talking about atheists. I'm not talking about Madeline Murray O'Hares. I'm not talking about Hugh Hefners. I'm talking about good people, deacons, choir members, Sunday school teachers in First Baptist Church and all over America who have never, your maker, he wrote a book. Read it, find out what he has to say. And do that which is right in God's eyes. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You're not saved. It just seems to you that your good life's going to get you to heaven. You better find out what it seems to God. It just seems to you that joining a church, getting baptized, get confirmed, going to Ash Wednesday and Fat Tuesday and Skinny Friday is going to make you a Christian. It may seem to you, but you better find out what it seems to God. It seems to God that all men are sinners. It seems to God that the wages of sin is death. It seems to God that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, and took your sins against his own record, and paid the penalty for your sins. It seems to God, I don't care how wicked you are, how vile you've lived, it seems to God you come and trust Christ as your Savior, and put your faith in him, realizing that you're a condemned sinner in the sight of Almighty God. It seems to God you can go to heaven then. I'd a lot rather have my hope based on what it seems to God. And what it seems to me. Would you bow your heads, please?